What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of The Bullpen. I'm so excited to be introducing this guest today because we're talking about a real badass. Now, this dude has had a crazy life in just what he's accomplished in his personal life and in business, specifically dominating in the insurance space. And actually, I feel like you're into a couple other things in your business as well. And we'll get into all that. I can't wait to, you know, just dive in with you guys. But let me just give you guys an idea of who we're talking about here. This man is a former professional athlete turned serial entrepreneur. He has been featured in CBS, NBC, Fox, The New York Times, Yahoo Finance, and Disrupt Magazine. He's a father, husband, and coach. He is the host of Hit Streak Podcast, president of Team Hyder, might have just given it away there, vice president of Sandlot Sports, founder of Hit Lab Creative Studios, partner of Home Agent Group, and partner of Hub Holdings, Nick Hyder. Thanks for coming on, brother. Welcome to the bullpen.
Brother, I have been an admirer of the and fan of the show for quite some time, man. And it's an honor to be here. Biggest thing, just hanging out with you and all the amazing guests you've had prior.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. I've heard nothing but great things. I'm excited to get to know you more, man. Appreciate the hell out of you. Well, listen, man, you've done some incredible things. I've heard some great stuff from our good friend. I think we shout out Dane, you know, bringing us together, getting us to, you know, making that introduction. But first and foremost, man, former professional athlete, that alone is massive, right? Anyone who's been in sports understands what it takes at any level in any sport to hit a professional level. It takes a certain amount of dedication. You don't just get that out of thin air. That shit's created, right? And then to do what you're doing in business, I gotta know, man, what's your story? Who is Nick Hyder at the end of the day, man? What's your story?
Well, as an athlete, I think baseball is the greatest game on the planet because of the life lessons that you learn, how it teaches you to overcome, how there's a guy making $30 million this year that fails 70% of the time when he comes up to the plate. And those are amazing life lessons, especially they translate really nicely to the business. To the business side of things, right? So as an athlete, I can tell you right now, I was probably the smallest guy in the professional ranks every time we showed up. I had a goal for opening day of spring training. Everybody, you know, you show up in street clothes and you change into your practice attire. And my goal was when I took my shirt off the first time, everybody was like, who the hell is that? You know what I'm saying? Was how I was going to get your attention because everybody else was 6'4" and above, and I was 6 foot. I was not. There was a lot of guys that I played against growing up in the high school and college ranks that were better athletes, that had more tools, that were better baseball players, maybe even. Except they quit, and I didn't. So there's a little bit of last man standing to that when it comes along, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, baseball alone, you're playing, what, 100 games plus a year?
We did, yeah.
You know, like, that's the thing about baseball. I played baseball growing up, dude. It's like, people talk about golf as, like, the toughest sport mentally. I put baseball right there next to it. You know, I understand golf is only you, and I understand the whole thought process, but I always hear people say that. I go, and I don't think football is necessarily so much to the level of, like, baseball or golf, but really we're talking baseball of a mental game. Yep. Because you are standing at the plate. I don't care what anyone says. You got 90-mile-an-hour plus fastballs coming in at you, and you hear those things sizzling coming at you, you know? And they're purposely throwing it at your head to curve it down in. It's just this whole guessing game, and even just the slightest dip of your shoulder and all these things. It is a huge mental, you know, marathon that you go through, you know? What teams did you play for, if you don't mind me asking?
So I have a medical condition. It's a nerve disorder. Doesn't affect me at all today. It did one time in college, but because of that, I would be called a liability from a big investment standpoint because there's a lot of unknowns about it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, sitting here right now, it could flare up and something could happen. But basically, when I was my junior year in college, leading up to the season, I was hospitalized I did not have full movement in my lower body. Had to learn how to do some things over again. Geez. So from then on out, I wasn't what you would call investable, right? But there was after my senior season, I was MVP in a college with bat league that featured some of the best in the country. And my dad and a buddy named Cliff Terracuso, got a guy who I've just found out recently passed named Fred Ferrara, who was with the Expos and the Marlins at the time, said, bring him down, we'll give him a shot. And they arranged and negotiated and got all of my minor league contracts in place. And they gave me a chance. And for, 5-6 seasons, I was living the dream, man. And I really didn't know. I didn't understand it was a business, and I was pretty immature. I'm 41 years old now. I'm kind of going along the path of you lose everything and make all your mistakes in your 20s. You break even in your 30s. You become profitable in your 40s, and you scale in your 50s type thing.
Love it. So, okay, let me ask you this then. Baseball's over, right? Yep. Baseball's over. One of the most difficult things anyone goes through in sports is losing something that they've worked their entire life for. You know, for me, that was football, right? Like, when football was gone, I had to figure out a whole new identity, right? Mm-hmm. But obviously, you haven't had a problem with that shifting for, you know, your identity from, you know, being a baseball player, doing that full time. And now all of a sudden, you own how many businesses, right? You're obviously, in some good company with some really high end people. What happened there from baseball to shifting now to where you are in business? What happened?
That's a freaking awesome question, man. So when I got done with baseball, I retired on my own terms. In the off season, I had a buddy that was nice enough to give me a job in a nightclub. And every year when I came back for an off season, I had a different job. So over like 5 years, I'd learned to do everything in the nightclub business pretty much, because I'd done it from DJ to bartending to bounce, promotion, whatever. And that's where I met my wife as well. But we did some buddies of mine started taking pictures in nightclubs back, but this is back before camera phones were a big thing, in like 2005 or six. So a couple years before the iPhone came out. And we would give people a card of a website saying, hey, your picture will be there on Monday. And before we knew it, we had Anheuser-Busch and Red Bull and everybody that were backing us on this. And that was why I left the game. However, when I was done playing ball, I looked in the mirror after like 3 or 4 weeks, and I realized I was wearing the exact same clothes that I wore before. And I realized that mentally I was still a baseball player, and mentally that's how everybody else saw me. So the first thing I did was I changed the person that I saw in the mirror, and to give everybody else an opportunity to look at me different. Because even in the business world, when we had this thriving company, they were still asking me about baseball all the time. So it took me a minute to kind of shed that. And I didn't know who the hell I was after baseball was over. It was a big deal. It was a really big deal. It was a huge turning point in life.
Yeah. Talk to me about that. Like, tell me about what you felt in that moment when you actually don't even know who you are. I mean, at this point, you're, mid-20s, we'll say, basically grown-ass man. Because I'm asking this question because I know exactly what you're saying there. And I want everyone to really understand just how important that is, because that can cause someone to spiral out of control and to lose like any ambition in life. You're a grown-ass man. You finish playing professional baseball, and now all of a sudden, you don't know necessarily who you are. Tell me how that felt in that moment. Walk me through that.
Well, I was broke because we didn't make what little money I did make in the minor leagues. I didn't know how to manage it or anything, So I never had enough money. I was broke. I got tired of being that way. And then that little marketing company I was telling you about, it was making money. So that was my decision to play another year where it felt like a dead end job, honestly. Mm-hmm. And that was they were the last employer that I had. I realized then they decided how much I got to play and how much I got paid to do it. We didn't see eye to eye. So that was why I wanted to make the change. And over here, I had this growing company where we were in control and the sky was the limit, right? So, and it gave me an opportunity to be somebody else, to figure out who the hell I was. It was an ongoing process. And looking back at it, when you're a child, the first thing, like my daughter, she's learning how to walk right now. She just turned one. And after that, she'll learn how to run. And then she's learning to speak and learning how to communicate. And then she's going to go off to school and become a kindergartner. And then she's going to reinvent herself as a first grader and a second grader and a third grader. And what I found with most people is they do that for like 23, 24, 25 years until they get that stable job. And then they just stop. They stop evolving. They stop everything about that process. And I've never really understood that, but I was guilty of it at the same time, so to speak. And it was hard. Some people say it's reinventing yourself. Some people say that's wrong. You're just becoming the person you were destined to become all along. I've heard both. I think I agree with both of them. But in my mind, it was a total reinvention of myself in the nightclub days. So after we had this marketing company for a year, and it was doing good, and we had made enough money to buy our first restaurant, what we were going to turn into a bar. And over the next 5 years, we owned and operated six of them. So it was me and three other buddies. We did great revenue-wise. It was a hell of a time, dude. I didn't know how to manage the money. I didn't know how to manage my time. I didn't know how to manage that atmosphere. So in 2011, 5 years in, my relationship with my not even wife yet and our young son at home was not good. We realized we needed change and wanted something different. So we sold everything for good money. We're over about the next year, I got into a bad real estate deal and lost everything that we had. So when I started my insurance agency in 2013, I didn't have a pot to piss in. I literally had to borrow money from my dad, from my parents to get my insurance license just to be able to accept the agency position. And my dad was like, sure, I'll give it to you, but don't come back.
Wow. Okay. That's incredible. So obviously I'm assuming, you know, the real estate stuff was at around 2008 times.
It was ironically, it had nothing to do with the market. This was in like 2011, 2012. There was a big development happening in Nashville, out at the Opryland area. If people in Nashville would be familiar with that, but there was Dolly Parton was going to be a big water park that went in in partnership through Dolly Parton. And, there was going to be a high rise put there that was mixed use. And I was a part of that high rise. When the deal didn't happen, the deal fell through with Dolly. There was a huge flood that happened here in 2010 too, that caused a lot of problems. Over time, I just paying for the mortgage, I bled out until I had nothing left. And it was a slow bleed. It was miserable. I didn't know what to do. My wife is a freaking saint and a superhero, and she stayed with me throughout all that, even though I was a total asshole and jerk. And it wasn't even like, well, he's an asshole, but he's got money. She couldn't even say that. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I think she always knew the person that I wanted to be. And she did it for our kid.
Wow.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. So talk to me about what made you then make the decision to get in the health insurance business. I'm curious.
One of the things I figured out is nobody stands up in school on career day and says, when I grow up, I'm going to be in insurance. As a matter of fact, Tom Brady said one time in an interview about how when he wasn't getting drafted, he was like thinking, damn, I'm going to have to go sell insurance or something.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
The insurance industry makes more millionaires across the globe than really any other industry. At least it has up to this point. And there was a man named Troy who had started a company and really revitalized the company in 2010. And he had just created a great opportunity where somebody like me, there was just nothing in my way. It allowed me to be the best version of myself. I was just looking for a place where there was no floor and there was no ceiling, where I could make it as big or as small as I wanted. That opportunity with a health insurance company changed my life, because since then there's been hundreds of millions worth of revenue generated. There's over 100 agencies that we had a hand in starting. It changed my life, dude. It really did. I busted my ass, sun up to sundown. My wife's a part of the business too. She's actually down the hall interviewing people to open agencies as we speak. But it just allowed us to make the life we wanted. That's what I think makes the United States of America so great is, if there's something you want bad enough and you're willing to do whatever it takes to get it, you can have it.
I agree. Unfortunately, I can tell you my thoughts about it. Do you feel like that is still the case, or that will be the case in the future with what we're heading as a country?
Man, it's It's hard to tell. I try not to get too caught up in all that stuff, because like I try to be, there's news, right? Well, there's good and bad news. All you see on TV is the bad news.
That's right.
I try to be a source of the good news. Mm. And like, I look at people like you, like, so how old are you again?
26.
Dude, you got the world by the balls, bro. Like, you are so far ahead. At 27 years old is when I retired from baseball. I got nothing, right? Mm. And I look around, and everybody I went to school with has been in the workforce for 5-6 years or longer, so they're already moving up. Mm. I'm at rock bottom, dude. It's like if I wanted to go start in a corporation somewhere, I'm going to be getting coffee and delivering mail at 27 years old and knowing I'm not qualified to do that. So, you know, people are always like, who'd you vote for? What side do you stand on? I'm always like, look, regardless of who gets elected, I hope they do a good job, because like shit rolls downstream.
Agreed.
And I probably shouldn't cuss on here, but like,
cuss all you want. We swear at the bullpen.
Well, it hits us all, man. So I hope, regardless of who wins any election, I hope they do a damn good job.
Yeah.
Because it's all our livelihoods at stake, right? So I think we get caught up too much into the gossip sometimes to focus on the results. So I don't know. I know that the greatest companies, the companies that last generations, they're true to their founding principles. And I hope that our country can do the same.
I agree. Well said. Okay, so let me ask you something about the health insurance business, right? In regards to right now, what a lot of people are experiencing, and I'm asking you this like, you know, personally, because I'm experiencing this, is getting people to just work. Just getting people to actually come into work, show up, like you have an interview with someone, you hire them, and then all of a sudden they don't show up for their first day or their second day. It's like, you know, like, what am I missing? Just getting people to work and launching new agencies, especially in a business where there's a lot of training required, right? A lot of training required, have to get licensed. How have you overcome that in building and scaling your agencies? And I'm asking this because a lot of people listen to this are in the insurance space. You know, a lot of people who follow me are in the insurance space, and this is one of the biggest struggles people have. How have you been able to overcome that by hiring, scaling, training, getting people into the business, building up new agencies? What's the key to that?
Well, for me, every single person that comes in to interview to start an insurance agency, if they were happy where they were, they wouldn't be sitting in front of me, right? Mm-hmm. So I already know that. I already know they're not where they want to be.
Yeah.
So the key is figuring out what they, where they want to go and what they want out of this life. And then, I mean, really in any industry, if you've got the product and there's a demand for it, once you know that, you can create a roadmap to the destination. So for me, it's basically that. And then I've got to sort through, everybody says they want to make six figures. Everybody says they want to make six figures. Problem is everybody wants the easy way, and not everybody wants to do the work to get there. And if there was an easy way to make six figures or even seven figures, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I'd be doing that, right?
That's right.
So I'm very clear on the front end about that. And it's just doubling down on what it is that they want, because that's what's going to fuel you to get. I had to make a decision at some point in time when it came to health insurance, because I'm not gonna lie, I didn't like it at first. Mm. It was a lot. There's a lot of compliance. It's regulated. Mm-hmm. It's not sex. It's not a sexy industry or anything like that, you know? And if it wasn't for the fact that the company I represented, allowed me to do some stuff on social media, which back then there was no insurance people on social media because of how of the legal stuff. I don't know if I would be here today. They allowed me some wiggle room and some legs to and a road to run on, and we did. But for those folks that are trying to get rocking and rolling, it's day one's the hardest. Mm. It's a set of skills that you have to develop, and again, it's just like doing anything else. How good were you at riding a bike the first time you got on, you know, versus a year later? So if you can get the people, you find the right people that are here for the right reasons, that are willing to do what it takes, and you can get them to put their head down for at least a year with our model, that's how we do it.
Hmm. Interesting. So Nick, walk me through this. What's the key to scaling, right? It's what, like, to scaling your, because one thing to get people in there, but then to take it to a new level of, you're talking about, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue that you guys have generated. I believe you said that, right?
Yeah.
How do you scale to that level?
It's the marketing, because nobody can buy from a business that they don't know exists, right? Mm. So where are the people at? How do they buy? And, you know, for our new agents, Like, I need them to personally introduce themselves to 10,000 American families in their first week. Somehow, we've got to they got to personally introduce themselves to 10,000 families in their first weeks, and then we go from there. And it's just it's just like anything else in sales, it's a numbers game, right? So it's shots on goal, and the more shots you take, the better you get at shooting. You know, and because of the way that we cover 33 states, so territory is big. That's not an issue. I always tell people when we're talking about that, there's roughly 330 million people in the country. There's 50 states we can all agree on that. We cover over half of the states. Let's say half of 330 is 165. For easy math, cut it in half again. 82, 41, 20, 10, 5. I cut it in half 7 times. I'm still left with 2.5 million people. So the question is, just do those 2.5 million people know you're there? And if so, how can and what you can do for them, and how can they work for you?
What's the biggest problem you've been experiencing right now, not only in business, but I guess between all your businesses, actually, you know, because right now, like, look, right, I believe we've already hit a recession. It's just, we just haven't fully experienced it yet. Everyone says we're heading for a recession. No, 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 it's already happened. Like, this is recession times, right?
Yeah.
Some people disagree with me on that. I'm like, well, I'll just give it a couple of years and you'll really, if you're not feeling out, you'll feel it later, right?
I read something yesterday. It's like, once this next quarter is over with, that we've had a certain drop in a couple of different things, that that's what they call it. So, like, I think you're going to be literally proven right in a matter of days or even just a few weeks.
Oh, I hope so, because I've been saying it a lot. So what are you doing to combat that? What's the biggest problem that you're experiencing in your businesses? Because you've got multiple businesses here, not just the health insurance business that you're having to deal with, you know, and that you're able to overcome. And talk to me about that, because I know a lot of business owners listen to this podcast, and I talk to a lot of people. I get a lot of DMs about this, like, hey, we're heading for a recession. What do I do? Right? Yeah. We're heading for a recession. What do I do? And when last time we had a recession, you know what? How old was I? Maybe 12?
Yeah.
So I want to ask you that question.
Well, the first of all, like, I learned this in the bar business. When people are happy, they celebrate with the drink. When they're sad, they drink. Regardless, they took a drink. Regardless, they're going to... there's a certain amount of things that they're going to buy or that they're going to need. The people don't do things out of fear, and fear is a very powerful tool if you use it properly. So, we start with the mindset first, man. You know, they've been saying for years that all the insurance industry is going to do this, and it's going to fall and crash and everything else. Like, we're literally on our, since we started, we're on another record-setting year right now. The company we represent is doing the same. I mean, like, numbers are good. Numbers are up, and at the end of the day, it's marketing and trust, man. So, like, if you focus on helping other people and putting if the customer is the hero in your story, how can you lose? Like, really, how can you lose, you know? So, and just doing things differently. People say you can't, Nashville's a really hot market for real estate right now. Sure. And they say you can't scale it and you can't change it or you can't grow it. But, like, well, sure, if you're going to do it like it's everybody else is doing it. But if you put a different spin on it, give it a different flavor, a different angle, you got a shot.
Now, so what's the mentality specifically? Because I know a lot of different businesses have core values that they establish, right?
Absolutely.
What's the mentality specifically that you've established in your businesses to overcome this?
Man, you know, most people just have a bad relationship with themselves. They don't hang around with the right people. They've been, like, I was brought up from a middle-class family, right? A happy middle-class family. My parents didn't have much. They had, what they had would be considered a great jump from where they grew up, and it's my job to do the next. But, like, the hardest part for me is my whole life, you know, a lot of times I heard things like, we can't afford that. You know, it was sometimes, we took pride in how little we spent versus how much we could spend.
Right.
So it was literally a paradigm shift of, like, it's crazy. People said we were crazy for doing everything that we've done. People said they were crazy when I built this studio that I'm sitting in right now, that's now a revenue generator, and it cash flows positive in a great way, you know? So I've thrived on everything people said you couldn't do it. Like, it was like, okay, well, watch this, you know. I had something to prove, but it was, that came from in here. I had to, this and this had to be connected, you know. Because a lot of times what's in here is not connected up here at all. This is, people lose the fight before they ever start all the time.
Love that. I love that. Now, let me ask you, Nick, where are you going from here? What's the goal? What's the drive? Like, what's the next steps for Nick Heider?
My wife and I dream really, really big, right? So a lot of the stuff we do in real estate is things that we can enjoy as well. We have some in our office. There's some places. My wife and I like really white powdery sand and teal blue water.
Yeah.
And really good weather, right? So yeah. Everything that we're doing is to go to there. But like I have Ethan turns 13 July 6th. My daughter just turned one. So we got a minute of raising kids still to rock and roll and go with. And, you know, I've been saying this a lot lately. The greatest gift God ever gave me that he gives anybody really is a kid. Mm-hmm. And the first time my son acted like a total ass, I saw myself. Mm-hmm. And I could see what I looked like. And that was like the greatest. It was like I'd left my body. I could see, and it was like, oh my God, that's what I look like.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't be the people we are, we wouldn't be as successful or the driver, anything, if it weren't for those kids, because that was where my wife and she's just such a superhero. And that's where we really kind of, that's one of the things that grounded us and kept us together. It's been a foundation for us to build on. And it's just, we talk all the time. It's just like all the things that we're so blessed, mm-hmm. and the things that we have, it's like the amount of people we're able to help. I used to be, you know, I grew up almost villainizing money, and people that had money were bad. And what I found is just like the more money we've had, my pastor told me, Nick, the more money you have, the more you can give. Everybody can give time, not everybody can give money.
Mm.
More money we've had, the more we've been able to do good.
Yeah.
And, but if you're a bad person, it amplifies that too, you know? So, money's a really good thing. And life's a lot better with it, right?
Yeah. Well, I've heard this saying before. I don't know where it came from, but I love it. And, you know, like, I'd like to find out who obviously said it to credit them, but they say money can't buy happiness, but the people who say that just have never had enough to give it away. You know?
Right.
So every time, and I know I've experienced that as well, is that I've never been happier making more money. Because there's a correlation between making money and changing lives, right? As long as my goal is not, I want to make money. My goal is I want to change these amount of lives. I want to help these people, right? And by doing so, I get paid for that.
That's right.
The world will always pay you exactly what it thinks you're worth. And you're very, very valuable if you can change someone's life. So guess what? You're going to get paid for that.
That's,
you know?
Right.
That's at the end of the day, that is what it is. This is how the world works. If we don't like it, well, maybe we'll get rid of currency one day and we'll all just, you know, trade pineapples for homes. I don't know what, you know, but that's not
right.
How it works. The world works on money. Money is value. We put value on certain things, right? This can right here is worth however much we put on it, because that's what we all agree what it's worth. Now, for me as well, and for you, the value that we provide to the world is exactly how that, you know, correlates to what you've been able to produce in business. Business is, at the end of the day, like people say, other people's money. That's all it is. That's all business is other people's money. Is how do other people's money, you know, flow? Because it's going to flow somewhere. How does that end up flowing to you? Well, it flows to you by you providing value.
That's
right? If you provide value and you'll help change lives, that's what's going to make the difference.
That's right.
Now, I want to actually ask you a question here about working with your spouse. Because
yeah.
For some people, that's a big no-go. Right? Now, I work with my spouse. She works with me here in the business, you know, so I can tell you my thoughts on it, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts on, you know, spouse, you know, business relationship.
Well, it did not work for my parents. My parents did it for a short amount of time. Dad was in the music business, owned a company, and mom worked in the office and was a part of it for a while. And I know that was a source of some of their issues.
Mm.
I met my wife in the workspace. And she was great. And the story there was I met her in like 2000, 2001. I finally got a date with her in like 2008, right? So my sales game, my tools needed some sharpening, right? I finally got her. And like when we were in the nightclub and bar business, she was operating a couple of those for us and absolutely killing it. She was amazing at it. I like to work. Being a driven person, my mind's always rocking and rolling and running. And, so this is a way that we get to spend time together and chase dreams as well. She's very secure. It took me a while to get on that level, but she's very secure and always allowed me to be, always allowed me to do that, supported me, pushed me, all that. So for us, it's worked. It mm-hmm. has, it was, it, there's been bumpy times. Most of the times it was because of my dumbass, right? So, she's a saint and it works for us, man. So if it works for you, do it. And because it's more time, more time. And that's the most valuable thing we have anyways. Right.
Hmm. Now you've kind of mentioned this before, with you and your wife talk about your dreams and goals, but I'm curious at the end of the day, like obviously you're building your brand, right? You're building your businesses. What is your ultimate goal that you're trying to get at? Because some people it's to build, is their goal is actually build a business and exit one day, right? Some yeah. people it's to leave a certain impact on the world, to leave an actual brand behind that, leave some sort of message, right? And it's different for everybody. I've had a lot of conversations with people on what their end goal is. I'm curious for you, what is your end goal? What is your mission?
So if we didn't have kids, by 45 to 50 years old, we would want to exit and retire, let the money do the work, invest, really just focus on the portfolio. But since, our son, I don't really know, my dad I've worked with my dad before, still do in our nonprofit. And I feel like there's a little bit of a legacy that he's leaving behind that I get to push forward. So I kind of want to see, I guess we're going to kind of see where our son, how our kids grow up and what they want to do. If the family business is something that he wants to be involved in, then I'd probably stay. It's an excuse to hang out and work with him for a while. Right.
So, right.
But if he's going to go off and do his own thing and don't want to be a part of it, we're probably going to want to follow them around and support them,
Yeah.
I'm 41 years old right now by 50. At the latest, if it takes that long, I would say we would want to be done. And speaking's not a job. Helping people's not a job, but operating the businesses might be. So we might just be more of a board seat and an investor,
yeah,
and a motivator than an operator.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, cool, Nick. I mean, we've talked about some good stuff, man. I know a lot of people in the insurance business are going to listen to this, and you know what? It's funny because. I'm sure everyone thinks when I ask that question, they want like tactical advice, right? Like, oh, what you need to do is change your funnel here. What you need, but at the end of the day, man, it's just sticking to something for long enough.
That's right.
Right? It doesn't take a brain, brainiac to figure out how to provide value to people's lives, right? And if you're willing to put in the work and actually just call some people, knock on some doors, maybe, set up some appointments. Woo! You'd be shocked at what can happen, right?
That's right.
It's crazy. Right. Now, I want to ask you this. If there's one message you'd want to leave the audience with today, what would it be?
So I heard something the other day for the first time, and it was profound, and I hope I don't mess it up. But it said every person gets two lives, and the second one starts the moment you realize you only have one.
Mm.
Right? And we take so much for granted. We take ourselves, like most people don't get healthy until they have the heart attack or the stroke. I didn't learn to speak finance. I didn't learn the language of finance and money until I was broke and it was hurting, affecting other people. Right. So, with the amount of information, people like you, I mean, like literally they could just, if they didn't look anywhere else, but on your feeds and your channels, everything they need is right there. Everything they need. And it's freaking free. It's freaking free. So my message to everybody else would be like, don't sell yourself short. Mm. Believe in yourself. Find out what the hell you're good at. If you're not happy doing what you're doing, you're not doing what you put here to do.
Mm.
you know, period. So, and if I'm not a big W-2 guy, right? But you know what? For some people that works.
Yeah.
And that's great. And you know what? Some of those W-2 people have more spare time than I do. And they serve, and some of the, they're some of the best servants to the community out there, you know? So it's to each his own, but like, damn, dude, everybody can be happy. And you got to find that happiness. You got to find your joy.
Amen. That was a bomb right there. I know we're not on dropping bombs with Brad Lee, but that was a bomb right there. I love that. By the way, the two lies, that's Confucius. If you look at that's Confucius, the old Chinese proverb. That's a great one. I love that one.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Nick, I can't thank you enough for coming on the bullpen, man. It's been an honor having you on here. And if anyone wants to get a hold of you or learn more about, you know, just how to be involved with what you do or just, you know, at least follow you, what's the best place they can reach you? Obviously, you have your podcast. What other?
Yep, the podcast is called the Hit Streak. It's streaming on all platforms. I got to get you on as well to bring the fire, baby. But it's called streaming on all platforms, video on YouTube and Spotify. My website, nickheider.com. All my social media is at Nick Heider. The team Heider, you can follow the team, all those places, baby.
I love it. Awesome. Yeah. Let's get on that no hit streak. Hit streak or what is it?
The hit streak.
That's it. Let's do it, man.
So, you know how I get, it's a playoff Brad's thing, man. Everything I know about podcasts, I learned from him. He's amazing. He was in last week, filming an episode that hadn't aired yet. But when he was, you know, so he was dropping bombs, right? Well, we're adding hits to the hit streak, baby.
I love that. Yeah, he's one of the best there is at the podcast. There's no doubt about it. His podcast is awesome. So, hey, thank you so much for coming on, brother.
Yes,
we'll make sure to tag everything below. If you guys want to follow this guy, make sure you get a hold of him. We'll tag everything below. Appreciate you, brother.